This is Pharaoh's House.
Greetings, kind souls and kind strangers, and welcome to another Pharaoh's House episode. As always, or as usual, I start off with a question. What organism are you? I know. You're wondering, what kind of question is that? Or maybe you answered, you are human, or man, or woman. Or maybe you said none of the above. But a more astute answer would have been, I need more information regarding what you mean by organism. Note, that is not a question. So I did not answer a question with a question. When I first encountered the term organism, I associated it with a microscopic life form, emphasis on life form. Life form, according to popular scientific definition, is allegedly synonymous with the word organism. And as we can all presume, there are countless types of life forms. So return to my original question. What organism are you? We are unique life forms in that we are supposed to hold a special attribute called a developed will, or at least some of us do. The will is more than just intent. It is introspective volition, meaning conscious, voluntary decision. It includes self-awareness, capacity for instant reflection or forethought, and the ability to take action not entirely driven by internal biochemical activities. In short, it is power to be unpredictable as opposed to controlled by reflex. Allegedly, all the lesser creatures of this world are supposedly driven by innate instinct. You know, the need to feed, flee, fight, rest, defecate, urinate, procreate, without contemplation, self-control, or even modesty, though some house cats display modesty when using a litter box. Anyway, another question. What about those so-called human life forms who behave as if they are slaves to their own urges? Are they similar to those lesser creatures? I say not entirely, because even the most beastly, nihilistic humans contain the capacity of forethought, reflection, and restraint. The histories of the many worlds that have occupied this realm tell a different story. And so do our contemporary times. The formation of colonies, for example, corrupted all land masses, almost all land masses, and that's an example of life forms called humans behaving less than animal-like, driven by a mass spirit in their biochemistry, selfishness, greed, fear of governing bodies, hate for the darker aboriginal so-called strangers. And today, we see more so-called lemming effects, where man and humans act outside their designated natures. Can you think of an example of how life forms known as man or human today act outside of their nature? Another question for you. Do some people possess a natural inner mechanism that activates a developed or fully developed will upon reaching a certain stage in maturity? Or does it turn on after a certain number of life-changing experiences mixed with hours of contemplation? And my follow-up question is, do some people require actual external training to develop their will plus lifelong monitoring to maintain a certain level of will development? The answer is yes, of course. Furthermore, there are those who will never obtain a fully developed will due to trauma early in life and no repair before or during their adult years. Most people are taught to gauge willpower by fully, partially, or failed accomplishments. This is only half of the truth. Willpower can be gauged by a clear capacity to say no or to disagree with or without action. For example, many people disagree with corrupt government activities, but We exist in a universe of participation and opposing wills. We hope that every encounter goes our way or plays out fairly with mutual benefit for all involved, but we all know that's not how life goes. Look at yourself. Look at those you know. Consider the individuals where you live. Then in general, consider the life forms that you've experienced in your microcosm part of this world. Your answer may surprise you, before you even reflect upon anyone other than yourself. In the next podisode, part 2 of What Organism Are You?, we will continue and answer all these questions. From a fully developed will to self-protection, when we are vulnerable babes, aka so-called children. Ideally, protection comes via parents, immediate kin, and surrounding community. Here's another question, a question for you. When you hear the words self-protection, what comes to mind? Did you think of self-defense as in combat training, martial arts? Or did you think of an automated spirit or program that safeguards you from energy thieves, dream hijackers, attention detractors? Those are definitely all great forms of self-protection, but you left out an important one, nutritional self-defense. Your parents, if they knew this, they made sure that what you ate fortified you biologically, structurally, developmentally, and energetically, in addition to protecting you from pathogens that could invade you from the inside or the outside, but that's just part of the picture. But what if you lacked all of that? What if you didn't grow up in an ideal household? Don't allow that to continue to stifle you now. An inventory of self-protection requirements includes, for the physical or material soul vessel, nutritional fortification, and I don't mean those fortified processed so-called foods, biological, biochemical fortitude, meaning careful maintenance of life fluids and your organ grid. At least two forms of physical self-defense. Examples can include Tai Chi, Kung Fu, defensive boxing, etc. You can teach yourself or you can enroll in formal self-defense classes. When you undertake any self-defense class, do so like you would any college or university degree program. Set small goals in your self-defense knowledge journey. Maintain a schedule and stick to it for each lesson. As for unseen self-protection inventory items, I provide two for this list. 1. Mental astuteness. 2. Spiritual autonomous stamina and mental astuteness through rest, daydreaming, night or sleep dreaming, reading, listening to non-commercial organic music. You can run your music through a 440 to 432 hertz app or free software such as Audacity. And the final unseen item in our protection inventory list, spiritual autonomous stamina. Remember, spirits are programs and spirits are programmable. There are a few things, animate or inanimate, which are not imbued with or affected by spirit or spirits. Know that a spirit is not supposed to control a soul vessel. That's the main thing. As a living soul vessel, you too can house spirits as well as generate spirits. Just like you house many microscopic life forms or organisms, some mutualistic in you and others parasitic in you, on you. A separate inventory of programs is often required so that you can work on deleting most of them and allowing a helpful few to remain resident. This action occurs within your autonomy. The stamina is already connected to your physical manifestation of your soul vessel. It is a feature that can go up or down in supply, like a fuel. That means it can also be drained. Re-listen to the first part of this inventory list for the essentials that help you keep strong stamina, or rather stay spiritually, mentally strong, not stubborn, not ignorant, but capable of not becoming confused by the horde of non-stop programming or spirits which bombard all of us. Whether it's words, memories, implanted ones or original ones, visuals, activities, spirit residue from ancestors, friends or strangers, religious programming, etc. You'll want all these and more to pass by or through you without them attaching or adding to you or subtracting from you or dividing you up mentally or causing division between you and other kind soul vessels. If your physical soul vessel is able, maintain a formatted regimen of careful fitness, aka exercise. It is great for strength, stamina, posture, as well as giving you an empowered physical mental foundation to absorb, learn, and unlearn for mental astuteness, emotional maturity. I hope this helps. You rarely hear me speak about me and my private world. So, please, indulge me for a few moments. First, a synopsis of the place where I reside. For the last few years, I've been in a self-imposed exile. True shaman, true caregivers, or healers are under fire and have been for almost 20 years now. I needn't spell out the names of those who were taken from this reality because of what they knew and what they shared. Many of them famous, others unknown, but still on the ground doing the work. Often, the biggest battles are with ignorant, stubborn minds and hardened hearts, not so much government bodies and clandestine agencies. Well, as for yours truly, I reside in an impoverished nation in Latinized America. By impoverished, what that means is most of the population here subsists on local government welfare transfer payment systems, day-to-day wage jobs, and often intra-communal supportive efforts on a small scale, depending on the community, some more supportive than others. Even though these are not Aboriginal people of this land, they still, for the most part, maintain a communal code based on family structure, bloodlines, and common culture. It might be toxic, but it still shows a code. The older generation knows of natural healing or natural medicine, but they, like so many on this world or of this world, are tied to allopathic medicine, whether out of fear, ignorance, or just blind trust, not to mention insurance coverage payments. Natural medicine is not covered by these insurance systems, and that's the main reason, probably why most do not seek shaman or naturopathic care providers. In the few years that I have been here, I have assisted a handful of clients. All of them came to know about me through word of mouth, and each of them came to me because they felt I was their last hope. I am very used to that scenario, so it has nothing to do with my location. People in dire or desperate health crisis mode often run to emergency rooms or clinics for quick pharmaceutical fixes or surgical procedures. My online work has supported me and a handful of donations here and there. When I came here, I traveled with a cat, that a former client in Louisiana, USA gave me. At the time, she was dealing with her own ups and downs, plus a young son, two dogs, and other issues, so who knows what would have happened to the kitten. Well, months later, the cat and I are here. I started the cat rescue after a Canadian couple that lived in the house next to the one I was renting placed 8 kittens in a plastic garbage bag and tossed them in a dumpster. A maintenance worker was about to silence the traumatized kittens with a stick. I saw this and I stopped him. The day was hot and time was of the essence. Amazingly, none of the kittens suffocated. Within 3 weeks, I found homes for 2 gray striped kittens. The others, no one seemed to want. I had a suspicion why, and then I realized later why. I asked the maintenance worker why none of the people who came to adopt a kitten wanted the ebony ones, aka black ones, or as the locals say, gatos negros. He informed me that los gatos negros are evil, and they have bad attitudes. I rescued several other cats and found them homes from 2017 to now, but no one wanted the black cats, so I started a sanctuary for these cats using my own funds. Finding a house to rent was very difficult, but I found one, and here I am today. Now I must move because the property owner's ex-wife is exerting her partial ownership rights. According to him, she is pushing out all the existing tenants. I truly need your help now to raise funds. I prefer to buy a small place and avoid these dramatic scenarios between wives and husbands, which is all too common here, but it can happen anywhere and does. You can help with direct donations or subscribing and making an appointment. I want you, everyone listening, to tell others and share any links I post on Facebook or Instagram or my blog or any other sites. Ideally, a place where I can recommence my work with plants, tinctures, oils, and teaching. The cats are resting outside right now on a veranda. Sometimes I allow them inside when the property owner's wife is on the rampage outdoors. The property is an old duplex that has not had any care or renovation. It's basically falling apart, and the appliances are from the 1980s or older. The refrigerator is basically a cooler, and the stove died last week, so we are also fundraising for a mini fridge and small burner electric stove. Already I've put the word out on Facebook Marketplace for cheap or newer used appliances, which are rare here. They're very rare here. So remember, it's a poor country, and the average person uses appliances until they don't function. In a different property, I'll be able to receive guests from afar, and for those brave enough to face all the invasive sanctions when you travel, you can come here and learn. And what I have said is the current reality. I am actively seeking help from all those who hear this. And if you want to barter trade, that is also an option. Another option is loan financing, within reason, of course. As I stated earlier, it is much better than renting. It would be an investment for you, and also income from the principal loan I repay. I'm considering all sound and viable options right now, so please contact me, or you can refer me to someone that you know who's ready to assist. My email address I'll provide, and you also have my US contact phone number, which I'll also provide as well. And you can also contact me through the website. That's about it for now. Thank you for listening, and remember to visit any links you find posted with this podisode or on my post elsewhere. And now, return to the podisode lecture. Now is time to know. Sounds like my title line for pharaohshouse.com. Time to know is now, because this is the actual time. For some, this is a culmination of bloodline. For others, it is an ultimate milestone. It's a convergence point. Life paths arrive at these junction points, either prepared or not. Now you know the reason for this work. Astrology points to this collectively, meaning everyone's astrology and numerological data all contain similar or similarities regarding this hour and time. There is no respect of persons in that all life forms of man play a role in this rebalancing of the niche provided for us. And keep in mind, our niche is connected with other niches for other life forms, worlds within worlds, so to speak. Here's an example how we can all fulfill our obligation as life forms in this reality. One way is to force these large corporations and others who are major polluters and corruptors and pillagers of this realm to either completely change or get shut down. I have spoken about this before, 6 years to be exact, in a podisode, and here we are at this point in time. Now is then. If you are an investor, you are more than likely an ignorant one, meaning you did not conduct a discovery investigation on all the companies in your portfolio. Perhaps you only invested in one company. It really does not matter. Investigate all tentacles and what they touch or hold. Forming communities is vital. Gather together in person or online with other investors, for example, and form the equivalent of a PAC or political action committee. Only you are taking action against a corporation through your investments and voting. If your dividends don't amount to much, perhaps with 50 to 100 others, those dividends will become a thorn which cripples the board members and alters policies. When you cripple CEOs, you cripple Senate, you peak Senate, pardon me, and Congress and Parliament, they'll automatically react and they'll listen because it's the CEOs that these so-called politicians answer to. Often divestment is required, literally cashing out if you truly care as opposed to being an indirect culprit, which is worse than the direct culprits. Stop buying, for example, plastics and plastic containers. DuPont, Raytheon, they're just two companies that use toxic plastics as opposed to water-based or hemp plastics in their mass-produced technologies. These corporations parasite off the willingly apathetic and willingly ignorant. The parasite hegemony breaks its toys once it is through depleting and playing with them. Word of warning to all the bloodline of parasites and those who support them. There will be no Elysium Utopia this time, and you won't be running off to Mars or any other so-called celestial body to escape to. Remember, so-called Earth is designed with rules and order. Everything you see reflects order and rules. Birds can fly, we can fly or glide with the help of an apparatus or powered machinery. Violate the rule of flight, and the order of reality will determine your outcomes. We are imbued with logic, imagination, and creativity to realize a way to fly, for example. Of course, there are two ways to do anything, the fully developed way or the negligent half-ass way. Most technology today is half-ass, built for gratification of the complacent, the wealthy, and the wannabe wealthy. Half-ass inventions always bring chaos. It has a stagnatingly slow evolutionary process with a 10-lifetime learning curve. It also serves up instant and long-term destruction, plus a depletion of all that is natural. Look at your vessel. Look at the tasks you do for self or others. You apply rules, or someone else imposes both order and rules. To absorb, learn, and know while here, realize and then understand that rules must be acknowledged and respected. That's the natural order, and you will thrive to expand beyond here. Study to show yourself worthy unto the ultimate designer of all intellect. Disrespect or break the order of this reality at your own peril. And if you haven't noticed, there are perils and pitfalls all around you. But listen closely. I'll say this only once. Here's the caveat to all that I just said. You have a will, and you accept consequences of your actions, which, if you apply that warning to the rules of this reality, is also saying, rule number one, there are no rules, and there is no order if you so choose. And those that allow you to do so will be left holding the proverbial bag. This is nothing new, and our so-called histories prove it. That doesn't seem fair, does it? That's because there is no fairness in rules and order of this realm. If two people who claim to be parents let the neighbor's kids invade their home and take control of it, then so be it. They will suffer the consequences of the invasive brats and the consequences of their own complacence. Complacence, distraction, and division are an old tactic. Just ask military generals, if you know any personally. Kind people, time is now to know. Time is now to silence your unfounded fears, quell your emotional insecurities, in order to form communities that vibe solely on and for truth. Not your truth, not my truth. We don't have a truth. This place comes with a truth imbued into it by its creator or creators. We are student caretakers, and those circumstances are not these circumstances that we're existing in are not conducive to absorbing and learning. We have adapted long enough to a million and one unnatural scenarios. Motivated, inspired, share this with those who have spark of life in their eyes, the spark of life of their soul vessel. Share it now. Thank you. Pharaoh's House Podisode is the sole property of pharaohshouse.com. All third-party copyrights revert to their original owners. To inquire about syndication or sponsorship, please visit our website at pharaohshouse.com.